Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get him, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Every Friday right here, and we talk Alabama. Usually, just think about it, when Kevin's here, it's very rarely after a loss. It's just Alabama. I mean, very rarely does this segment involve talking about a game where Alabama lost. It just doesn't happen very much, but here we are. Kevin, just talking to you, it's kind of messy right now at Alabama.
Yeah, good morning, Bill. This is actually the fifth season that I've had the honor to be a part of the greatest college football show, the Bill King Show, and talk about Alabama. And in those 4.5 years, Bill, this is the fifth time that I've come on your show to talk about a loss.
Wow.
So we don't do it very often, and I'm glad we don't do it very often. Yeah, it's an interesting time right now. Alabama, some of the issues that we've been facing that kind of raised their head in the Florida game, once again, raised their ugly head. We need to talk about issues on both sides of the ball, and I'll let you pick which side you want to go first. But yeah, not very often Alabama fans have to experience the pain of a loss like we did Saturday night. And congratulations to the Texas Aggies. I sent Karen a congratulatory tweet after the game. Alabama made a lot of mistakes we're going to talk about, but you have to give credit to the Aggies. They played a great game, and their crowd had a lot to do with it.
I'll ask this question, Mike, on Twitter. Ask Kevin his thoughts on the inside linebacker play so far this year.
Yeah, that's a great point. So that's where I wanted to go on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, the real easy thing is to blame everything on Pete Golding and say that he's not doing a great job as a defensive coordinator. And I'm not happy about a lot of the decisions, but let's be honest. Coach Saban has impact on both the offense and defensive side of the ball. I've not been very pleased the last couple of years with our very vanilla blitz packages. But the one area that I think that is undeniable that Pete Golding is completely responsible for, and that is the fact that he is the inside linebackers coach for the fourth year. And for the fourth year that he's been the inside linebackers coach, I've been extremely disappointed with the play at that position. Back in his 2018, his first year when he was co-defensive coordinator Tosh Lapoy, he had Mack Wilson and Dylan Moses as the inside linebackers. The next year, we had Dylan Moses become injured at the end of fall camp 2019. So true freshman Shane Lee had to jump in there along with true freshman Christian Harris. So he kind of got a pass in 2019 because the injury to Dylan Moses was a real impact. Last year, we had Dylan Moses and Christian Harris. This year, we have Henry To'o and Christian Harris. Bill, you can debate back and forth about Pete's responsibilities with the defense as the defensive coordinator versus Nick Saban, and I know there's a lot of times that Nick doesn't allow changes to be made, but you absolutely cannot deny that in the 4 years that he's been the inside linebackers coach, our inside linebacker play, Bill, has not been good. As a matter of fact, I'll even make the statement that I think in his third year, I've seen some regressions from Christian Harris.
Rest of the defense. Your analysis.
Well, you know, it really hurt not having Sanders. I was a little bit surprised that at one point in the game that the decision was made to move Will Anderson to the Sam and have him drop back in coverage as opposed to trying to put pressure on Calzada, who, you know, had struggled coming into that game, and we managed to make him look like Tom Brady. That young man, Bill, thanks to last Saturday night, will never buy another drink. He'll never pay for another meal as long as he lives in the state of Texas. He's an Aggie legend, and congratulations to him for the way he played. You know, another issue is the defensive line play. And I know it's a source of frustration for Alabama fans, but let's touch on this real quick. Like, some of the problems we're having right now, Bill, are because of poor recruiting decisions that were made years ago. Let me go with this real quick. Like, Iabi Anoma, 2018, five-star player. He would have been a fit. He would have been a senior this year. You can debate whether or not he would have stayed. Okay, off-the-field major issues. He was punted, went to Houston. 2019 class, Antonio Alfano. He was a number six. Anoma was the number four player in the country. Alfano was a number six player. Same thing. Major off-the-field issues. We had to kick him out of the program. He went to Colorado. He's an Independence Community College. Ishmael Shopshire. And I really hope my buddy Blake Ruffino's not listening right now, because he's going to laugh to the point that he drives off in a ditch. Ishmael Shopshire, 2019 class. He was either going to be a home run or a bust. He did not fit in the Alabama program. So those are three highly rated defensive linemen that were supposed to be contributors right now that are not in the program. Now, I'm not throwing five-star Damian Payne under the bus. He's a five-star true freshman in the 21 class. You know, he's just not ready to play yet. I'm not saying he's a bust. I think he's going to have a great future for Alabama. But the bottom line is, Bill, there is no Jonathan Allen. There is no A'shaun Robinson on the Alabama defensive line right now. And some of that has to do with the fact of, you know, we've had these recruiting misses. And a recruiting miss doesn't just mean the player didn't pan out like you thought athletically. When they come in and they're problems to the point you have to kick them out of the program, Bill, it's showing up. It's rearing its ugly head right now.
Kevin Hagan with us, talks Alabama on Fridays. Offensive side of the ball, you're grading today.
Yeah, I know everybody was mad at Bill O'Brien. I was mad at Bill O'Brien. I was really disappointed. You know, the third quarter is what really killed us. I mean, the defense turned it around. The defense held A&M to 10 total yards on six plays and one first down in the third quarter. Of course, they got the touchdown. And to me, the real change in the game was after the block punt by King Makuta. We turned right around and give up a 96-yard touchdown on a kickoff return because somebody can't stay in their lane. I know Bama fans like I were frustrated with the ninth and tenth drive when we didn't run the ball inside the red zone. Of course, you have to remember in the ninth drive, you know, there was a false start by Javion Coyne that turned a first and 10 at the 17 into a first and 15, which resulted in a punt. But the next drive for me, Bill, you know, first and goal from the A&M three straight passes. We don't even try to run the ball. Run the ball behind Evan Neal. So in my talks to people in the complex, you know, sharing my frustration, here's where we're at, Bill, and here's what the decision was made. Bill O'Brien, in conjunction with Doug Marrone, did not have confidence in the Alabama offensive line at that point that we could rush for 3 yards and score. And if we're at that point, Bill, you know, that's not a good point to be. So, but my big question is this, you know, everyone's frustrated about the running and the inability to do that. So my question was, well, what happened, Bill, to get us to this point? Why are we at the point where we're asking Chris Owings, a wonderful young man, classy, first-class individual, intelligent young man, why are we asking this young man to play right tackle for our team? And that's the decision. I mean, the decision, and it's not just Doug Marrone, it's Coach Saban too, the decision that, you know, Kendall Randolph and J.C. Latham, the true freshman that I really hoped could come in there and seize that position, but he's just 17-year-old and Damian George is not ready. Well, once again, Bill, you know, it kind of has to do with some recruiting misses, if you will, on that side of the ball. And, you know, Tommy Brockemeyer, true freshman, you know, I really thought this year, Bill, that Latham would start at right tackle and would move to left tackle next year, and Tommy Brockemeyer would be next year's right tackle. So Javion Coyne and Damian George were the two recruits in 2012, but Javion Coyne is playing left guard right now. But you go back to 2018, we didn't sign any tackles in 2018. 2019, we brought in Evan Neal, brought in Amari Knight, who's playing second team left tackle. Kendall Randolph, who is our backup right tackle right now, was brought in the class of 2017 as a guard from Madison High School. You know, and the bottom line is, you know, we didn't recruit Owens as a tackle. He was recruited as a guard. He's a 6-year player, redshirted his first year. Now he's got the COVID year, whatever. The young man's being asked to play a position that, quite honestly, he doesn't have the athletic ability to do, but it's not his fault. I mean, we're in this position, Bill, because of some recruiting misses and some players that, quite honestly, just haven't developed as fast as we would hope that they would develop. And that kind of gets overlooked. You know, last year we were blessed to have an Outland Trophy winner and the Remington Trophy winner on the offensive line. You know, Chris Owens did play center in the playoffs last year. He did play right tackle. Alabama fans kind of forget Evan Neal missed the Arkansas game last year because he tested positive for COVID. But, Bill, some of the issues that we're dealing with right now are issues because of decisions and things that happened a couple years ago that are just now raising their ugly head.
Down to about 2 minutes, Mississippi State looming here. What do you expect?
Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I have absolutely no idea what Alabama team is going to show up. And I know a lot of Alabama fans think Coach Saban is just going to wave the goat wand and, you know, everything is going to magically go away. And I've heard people, all the players are mad and they ought to be mad. They ought to be mad and embarrassed. I hope they get their act together and go to, you know, head down Highway 82 to Starkville tomorrow night and put it all together. But I honestly don't know, Bill, because, you know, talk is really cheap. This is a much better Mississippi State team. Will Rogers, second year in the program, leads the SEC in passings per game and total offense. Mekhi Polk, their Z wide receiver, 46 receptions, leads the SEC. It's a much improved Mississippi State defense. Defensive coordinator Zach Arnett, he's going to blitz and blitz, and then he's going to blitz and he's going to blitz some more. And if you watch the A&M tape, that's what you're going to want to do. This is not a game that I think Alabama fans need to take for granted. I don't think it's a game where we just assume we're mad and we're going to go over there and blow the doors off Mississippi State. Bill, it will not surprise me if this is not still a game in the fourth quarter Saturday night.
Kevin Hagan talking Alabama. Down to a couple of seconds. Anything looming in recruiting?
I think the next player that will drop for Alabama is Curtis Perry, defensive lineman out of Montgomery. He's going to announce his five today, and Alabama will certainly be in the five.
All right. Kevin, appreciate the time, man.
Have a great Friday, as always, and roll Tide.
Kevin Hagan with us every Friday to talk Alabama. Yeah. So he's been with us 5 years. I didn't know how many years it was. 5 years. And he's come on this show 5 times during that span where Alabama's lost a game. That was his stat. And we're here today because they're coming off a loss. They're coming off an Aggie loss. And, boy, isn't it amazing? And there's talent on this team, but they can't have another loss. Alabama can't get in with 2 losses. That's we know that. If they went out, they're in. If they went out and Georgia wins out, but Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC championship game, both of them get in, I would say, because the Clemson slot is open. All right, we'll get the break. Brad's coming up. Hold those for Brad until we get there. Hour number 3, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. I'm looking at this crash over here on 24 eastbound off-ramp at Harding Place. Good thing it wasn't westbound. That's where most of the heavy volume of traffic is right now on 24. All the traffic coming in from Rutherford County, making your way through this section of Davidson County. Heavy traffic now through Mount Julian, right on schedule as that traffic leaves Wilson County. Oktoberfest and Obergatlinburg going on now through the end of the month. Check it out today at obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Thank you. Hey, this is George Plaster. As some of you know, I've set up the Plaster and Friends Celebrity Bowling Night presented by Gish Sherwood and Friends, Monday night, November the 29th at Hermitage Strike and Spare. Proceeds from the event will benefit Last Minute Toy Store and the Martha O'Brien Center. Those are two charities that I am really excited about. Here's the way you can get involved. Simply go to celebritybowlingnight@gmail.com. Again, celebritybowlingnight@gmail.com. There will be a 6 to 8 p.m. shift and an 8 to 10 p.m. shift. You select which shift you want to be in. Each foursome will play two games, and each foursome will be paired with two different sports celebrities. Cost is $200 per person or $800 for a foursome. I'm not promising great bowling, but what I am promising is a fun event you will never forget.
If you're looking to turn the corner in 2021 in a new job with a family-owned business that believes the best way to serve customers is by taking care of its employees first, let me tell you about Goggin Cold Haul. Goggin Cold Haul operates within a 500-mile radius of its Smyrna base and seeks professional drivers to join its team with a $1,000 sign-on bonus. There's weekly home time with no northeast travel and no-touch freight with our late-model Freightliner and Kenworth trucks. A new beginning awaits you in 2021 at Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
At Napa, we keep things moving. If it has wheels and an engine, we help keep it on the road. And if it's on the road, we have parts for it. And if you need a part, you can get it fast, like same-day pickup or next-day delivery fast. At Napa, when we're not thinking about cars, we're thinking about the people who drive them. Because when it comes to serving you and our community, our motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. Same-day pickup and next-day delivery available at participating stores and on in-stock items only.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue.
I'm Craig Ladd.
And I'm Coach Bubba Spear.
Listen each Saturday morning at 8 for the 10th season of Prep Football Talk presented by Freeman Webb.
Every Saturday, we will get you up to date on all the scores, shine a spotlight on one of the area's top players and his coach, feature a prep legend of the week, and get you set for the upcoming week.
Prep Football Talk, also brought to you by the U.S. Army, Gary Force Acura, Tim Leeper Roofing, Valentino's Restaurante, Goggin Cold Haul, the Nashville Scene, and Sam's Sports Grill and Sam's Place.
That's every Saturday morning at 8 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
Music City Todd approved. The Bill King Show.
F&M Bank Hotline, 615-844-5600. Yeah, we've had some people last hour on hold, and I couldn't get to you. But if you folks want to get in there now, I'll get to you. 615-844-5600. On Twitter, at Bill is King. West Coast Sooner in Los Angeles. Bill, did you post your Week 7 OOP? Yes, I did, and I forgot exactly the top five, so I searched it. And this is really cool. I search it on Twitter, and, yeah, I've got the one that I posted this past Sunday. I'll give it to you, but the one from 2020 came up. The one from 2018 came up. The one from 2019 popped up. The one from 2017 popped up. It's just kind of interesting to see what I put. I'll give you the one, though, for this year, for Week 7 coming up tomorrow. I've got Kentucky, Georgia, 1. I've got Baby Kiff Goes to Rocky Top, number 2. I've got Alabama, Mississippi State, 3. Oklahoma State, Texas, 4. And I've got Coach O, number 5. That is the grouping. That's the LSU-Florida game. What's interesting is 2018, and got to remember, these week sevens don't automatically match, but LSU Florida was number 3 that year. That was 2018. I had Notre Dame, Virginia Tech 1. Now, this is 2018. Red River Shootout was also in there. I had Kentucky and A&M in there. How about that? No, I was just, you forget all these OOPs I've done through the years. I don't know. I don't even remember the first year we started doing that. I don't remember, but it's interesting. So there you go, West Coast Sooner. There it is. Major moves, says Bill. Feels strange to hear Kevin talking about Bama recruiting woes. Lots of smallest fiddles in the world lamenting all over college football. Yeah, I mean, how many – nobody signs Johnny Five Star and then develops Johnny Five Star better than Nick Saban. Nobody takes from start to finish and does it better than Nicky does. They sign them, and for the most part, they develop them, and then they go on to the NFL, right? They have a high percentage of success when it comes to that skill set. Get them and don't disappoint when you get them. They do that well. Kevin just pointed out a few that didn't do so well. Yeah, that's different. Yeah, it is. Now, everybody has their misses and their flops and their guys that don't work out, attrition. That happens everywhere, Alabama, wherever. But Alabama does that and has a higher batting average than anybody else when it comes to doing that. Developing them, getting them to win, understanding it, the grind, all that, the day-to-day, and then moving on. They do that pretty well. Yeah, they do that pretty well. Jeff in the Borough.
What you know, Bill?
I've been talking for an hour and a half. That's what I know.
Well, I enjoyed that wedding and graduation. That's the most exciting night of radio I ever heard. I hope I can get that back. I really don't. I hope I can get that exciting radio back. But I'm surprised you think George is number one on your list, Bill. You're going to get blown out again, in your opinion. So
yeah, I mean, now on my list, I don't put that in there whether or not you should show up for the game because Kentucky shouldn't make that trip. But yeah, it's number one.
Okay. I just wonder why it's number one because I know now, Bill, what you've been talking about the last hour. You want Stoops gone now, don't you? He's got to be on the list. And
I don't remember. If you can find the audio clip of "I want Stoops gone," then you can, you know, play it back.
He needs to be on the list, all these jobs and stuff. You've been saying he needs to be a fickle and all these other jokers.
Actually, I said I don't think he would take them, is what I said.
No, he'd be smart, he won't. I mean, that's up to him. I mean, that's his deal. You know, not mine. I mean, people think Bob Stoops is better than him anyway, so what's the difference? I mean, they think he's better than him. So, I mean, that's just the way it is. But now we have gotten some positive stuff this week. I mean, I've been reading online, Tony Barnhart, the real college football man, Mr. College Football, as he calls himself. He wrote a good article, talked to Barnhart and Stoops a little bit, and Of course, Barnhart told him that when he hires Stoops, he's going to give him time to build it. And he has.
Does Tony Barnhart even have a job? Where's he working?
Wait, no, Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football, Bill.
Yeah, where's he working?
College Football.
Where's he work?
There's a story online he wrote. I don't know what side it was.
For who?
I don't know, Bill. I read it. It was online.
Yeah. I don't think he's employed.
Well, he's employed somewhere. He wrote this article, and he talked to Barnhart, and Barnhart told Stoops when he
So
hired
Tony
him.
Barnhart talked to Mitch Barnhart. They're not related, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And Mitch Barnhart told Stoops when he hired him, said, "I'll give you time to build the program," which he has. And like Feinbaum said 2 years ago to the administrators to take a lesson from Mitch Barnhart, but they won't. You know, people like Woodward up there at LSU probably going to fire Coach O.
So Tennessee should have kept Jeremy Pruitt then. They should have remained patient.
I don't know if they should have kept him or not. They shouldn't have fired Phil Fulham. That's their problem. Shouldn't have fired him. They should have let him go out on his own terms. Now, just like a friend of mine told me, that's a curse when that happened in Tennessee. And it was a decade of dysfunction, wasn't it, Bill? A decade of dysfunction. It's been 13 years now. So I don't know what you know. I mean, but he gave him time to build it. He has. So it's probably one of the biggest games in our history of football, I'd say, in a long, long time, and I know we're going to be ready, and we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens and all that, I think they can play with them, but I know you don't. You didn't think we'd beat Florida, so I mean, you were wrong there, so you know, we'll see. And what I want to know, Bill, is if we do beat Georgia, what's going to be excuse? Do you said Florida, who wasn't playing for nothing, you said Coach O was chasing go-heads. So if we do win, what's going to be the excuse come Monday? That's what I want to know.
Let me think. Georgia had a big party the night before and drank too much, and they weren't prepared.
Well, again, Bill, you know nothing about college football, but Tony Barnard does because he's Mr. College Football. And that's what it amounts to. And so when you learn something about college, maybe high school football, and we can recruit anywhere in the 615 or 901 in Tennessee, Avery Williamson and Randall Cobb are the examples, and they're in the NFL right now, having long careers. So those two examples.
Well,
don't tell me.
Randall Cobb because your boy Fulmer didn't recruit him. That's how you got him.
No, because Fulmer went over to his house, and Cobb told him, said, "You're too late, pal. I'm going to Kentucky."
That's your boy. I thought that's your boy, though. I mean, you endorse him.
I was for it. I'm just saying that Fulmer tried to go over and get him to come to Tennessee. That's what Cobb told him. Said he was too late. He's going to Kentucky.
Well, that'd be kind of like you're walking down the aisle and your girl's getting married to another guy and you ask her not to do it. It's too late.
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, you got a point. That's true. But I'm just saying, we can recruit anywhere, Bill. This stuff, we can't get kids out of 615. You're wrong.
You can recruit anywhere.
Hopefully you're wrong come Saturday.
Go into Tuscaloosa and get somebody Nick wants. Do that for me.
Well, we can got Ohio. There's other states in this country. We can get them anywhere we want to.
Who are you getting out of Ohio that Ohio State wants?
Well, we got 12 top 15 recruits since 2015, and Ohio State Michigan's got 8 of them. So Ohio State does. So you hang in there, Bill, and we'll see if we can play Saturday. Because if they win Saturday, Bill, if they win Saturday, come Monday, you mind. Have a good weekend.
Why the anger? Why the anger? Jeff doesn't like the wedding talk because he knows there's no chance he'll ever be getting married. That's why he doesn't like that. I mean, let me ask you a question. You think Jeff and the Burrow has ever been on a date? I mean, I don't really want to visualize that. I'm sorry for ruining your morning. If you're eating breakfast right now, I know I probably ruined it for you. You're having a nice meal, and then I bring this up. Why the anger? He demands respect. Demands respect. Kentucky wins that game. We'll be right here doing the show. At 6:00, usually Patton when the – well, Mondays is heavy audio. So about 6:04 is when the light pops on and I'm on air. You have the news, you have the intro package, and then you have the – what is the first – Billy Jack. Yeah, you have the Billy Jack audio. And then here I am. We do the show. If Kentucky wins that game, we'll be right here. Yeah, we'll be right here. We do the show no matter what the news is. 9/11, we did the show. Yeah, we did the show. Now back then, my local show, we did, actually, that was an afternoon show. It wasn't a morning show. Jim up in New Jersey. Bill, my son is heading to Georgia today for tomorrow's Georgia-Kentucky game in Athens. Good for him, man. Is he coming down from New Jersey? Is he coming down? That's the game you want to beat. And Athens, I'm telling you, Athens is such a good place, man. Yeah, Athens is happening. Jeff, too. Bill, in case Jeff of the Borough doesn't tell you, your Dodgers beat the Giants last night and are going to face the Braves in the NLCS. I had a guy hit me up. I think it was about the Dodgers pitching rotation or something. Guy down in Georgia. I think a big Braves fan. And I appreciate that. And he said, "What about this, Bill?" And my reply was, "I couldn't even tell you who my Dodgers are playing." I'm serious. I don't think if somebody would have asked me yesterday, "Bill, who are the Dodgers playing to get to the NLCS?" I don't know that I knew it was the Giants. I don't think I would have passed that test. I don't watch. I'm not a pro guy. My team is the Dodgers, yes, but I am not a pro guy. I don't care about it. It bores me. It does not pique my interest. I love the college game. I love the high school game. That is where my heart is. That's where my passion is. Now, my Dodgers, notice I'm taking credit for this. My Dodgers are the defending World Series champs, right? Yes. And I think they're probably favored again this year. Somebody, you correct me now, you odds. You Las Vegas people. I think they're favored right now, but you can, again, bean count me on that if I'm wrong. Patton, who'd you say we have next? All right. Brian, welcome in. Appreciate you calling today.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, if you took a vote on blocking Jeff from the borough, I believe it'd be a 98% block him. And not only is Tony Barnhart not employed, I don't think Jeff is either, because he calls every radio station in town just about every day.
Calls Feinbaum, too.
Oh, he does? Well,
yeah.
Well, he must be either rich or retired. I don't know.
He's a professional caller.
Yes, he does. Yeah. I have a hotline from heaven from John Ward, if you'd like to hear it.
I've heard you before. This guy, now, for folks, John Ward is one of the iconic radio college football play-by-play people ever. Did it at Tennessee. Came in after the infamous Lindsey Nelson. What's ironic is the guy he replaced is more famous than him nationally. But John Ward, and this guy, I've heard you, does an exact John Ward imitation. So do it.
Subbing for my buddy Larry Munson, who could not make it today. This is John Ward saying so long from Georgia after telling you the final score. Georgia 48, Kentucky 3. How's that?
So John Ward leaves the Tennessee gig and broadcasts the...
Do Larry Munson, so that's why I did it. But I believe Jeff in the borough is going to have a rough weekend.
Hey, for our sake, I hope so.
I want to listen to the Cosby Cattleman. Y'all have a great weekend.
You too. That's a pretty good John Ward imitation. Yeah, John, to Tennessee fans, John Ward is God. I'm more of a Larry Munson fan than a John Ward fan. Munson's better, but that's just me. That's just me. Cosby Cattleman, welcome in.
Yabba dabba do, slide down that dinosaur because I can hear that lane train, Bill.
You didn't say kiss Mrs. King, though, because you know she's in Dallas, so I can't kiss her.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I know she's out of town, so we just went straight to the lane train. Listen for the whistle. Every now and then I'll get that whistle, Bill.
I hope she's not kissing some other guy right now. That wouldn't be good.
There you go. Yeah. You're out of town. That's always a worry for those married men.
Maybe it wasn't the whole wedding thing. It's maybe she just didn't want me there. How about that?
Yeah, I never understood the whole travel nurse thing.
Hey, sorry. I didn't know we were up against it. Hang tight. There's the music. I'll get you on the other side, okay?
All right.
Yeah, I had no – I wasn't even looking at the clock. That's the host's job to do. That just goes to show you, when I do this show – I'm not looking at the clock to get out of here. I'm having fun. But there's the music. The music is non-negotiable. All the breaks are hard breaks now, meaning you can't finagle them. Cosby Cattleman will get to his stuff when we come back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue, and welcome to the OVC Football Weekly Spotlight presented by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Keep your health care costs low and your health at an all-time high with the power of preventive dental and vision plans from Delta Dental of Tennessee. Choose your health first. Choose Delta Dental. At the halfway point of the 2021 season, Southeast Missouri is the first Ohio Valley Conference team with two league victories after winning at Austin Peay. Running back Geno Hess scored 3 rushing touchdowns and has 9 in 6 games, which ranks second at Nashland. Hess had 12 rushing touchdowns last season to lead the FCS and currently ranks 7th nationally with 586 rushing yards. UT Martin ran its winning streak to 4 games with a win over Murray State and has moved into the top 20 nationally. This week, the OVC and Southland Conference announced plans for a football scheduling alliance between the NCAA Division I FCS leagues during the 2022 and 2023 seasons. The planned collaboration will see institutions fill available non-conference dates the next 2 years with a focus toward competitive balance and reasonable travel. In addition to providing quality non-conference matchups, the alliance allows increased visibility, exposure, and branding as both leagues have long-standing ESPN broadcast agreements. More details, including matchup for 2022 and 2023, will come at a later date. Hess and UT Martin quarterback Keon Howard were co-offensive players of the week, while SEMO linebacker Brandon Mincy was defensive player of the week. Tennessee Tech kicker Hayden Olsen was top specialist, while UT Martin running back Zach Wallace was top freshman. On Saturday, number 16 UT Martin at Eastern Illinois and Tennessee Tech at Tennessee State count in the league standings, while Murray State at SEMO does not. Follow the league on your favorite social media platforms at OVC Sports. You won't believe it until you OVC it. This has been the OVC Football Weekly Spotlight presented by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Choose your health first. Choose Delta Dental. I'm Greg Pogue wishing everybody a great weekend of OVC football.
Get the ultimate mouth guard with affordable coverage from Delta Dental of Tennessee. Offering a large network of dentists and a variety of plans, you'll get better coverage than a defensive secondary. Learn more at DeltaDentalTN.com.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
We can see your smile, and we think you should be able to see it too. With Delta Dental of Tennessee and Delta Vision, we can improve your overall well-being by keeping your teeth and eyes healthy. Visit DeltaDentalTN.com to find an affordable plan.
If it happens anywhere in college sports, the Bill King Show will be there to bring you the facts.
Cosby Cattleman, welcome in.
Okay, take two.
Yes,
Bill, I want to obviously talk Lane Train with you, but one thing real quick on the national scene. I like to look at that futures market a lot, like the way they break it down like a horse race. And as of today, the Sin City's thinking it's Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, Oklahoma are the four most likely suspects to win the whole shooting match. But, you know, a lot of football left to be played. And by the way, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State haven't played yet, right? Bedlam.
Bedlam's the last Saturday.
Okay, yeah, and Oklahoma State's pretty good this year, right? Aren't they undefeated also?
Yes, but the mullet does not win Bedlam. I think he's won it twice.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. But, if you know, we know it does a lot of football to be played, but if the season ended today, the big question on the table would be, I guess the money's thinking Ohio State will win the Big Ten championship game. You have all those Ohio callers on your show. But I think the question on the table, as usual, is the little guy going to get screwed? The little guy usually being UCF, group of five, and this year it's the role is played by Cincinnati. Is Cincinnati going to go undefeated and get screwed?
They're going to go undefeated unless something just crazy. Their schedule is not cumbersome at all. They get UCF, which isn't the same. And, yeah, I mean, that's the big question is Cincinnati the first team that gets in from the non-P5?
Yeah, I mean, they UCF went undefeated, and they got screwed. We've seen this show before.
Yeah, this year may set up because you got the Clemson slot open, and you don't know about the West Coast either. West Coast isn't a given.
Yeah, but, you know, in the smoke-filled room, 10-1 Ohio State versus or whatever, the, you know, one loss Ohio State versus an undefeated Cincinnati. I think we all know how that would shake out in the smoke-filled room.
If it came down to that, yes, true. And look, Ohio State would beat Cincinnati handily if they played.
Yeah, but that's why I've always told you over the years, that's why you got to expand the playoffs, because the little guy always gets screwed. Maybe Tiger High will get screwed one of these years. Hey,
now,
Bill, okay, moving along here.
You're going to get your expansion, but go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Bill, Lane Train, I've been listening to it all week. I've heard a lot of bad analysis over here. John Adams, I'm a big John Adams fan. He sits in with this guy over here called Bozzolio. He's the big joke. He's the media mascot in Knoxville. And he's been sitting around taking pot shots at the Lane Train all week. Of course, he's chicken of my calls because, you know, I'll just show up and tell people the truth. But you know the one thing, Bill, I've been listening to it over here all week. I haven't heard one caller bring up. In 2000, I guess 3 years ago, I brought it up to you the other day. When Tennessee hired Pruitt, I guess that'd be, 4 years ago now, Lane Kiffin was sitting right there for the taking. And why wasn't Lane Kiffin entertained for the job by John Curry and Fatmer?
Because they don't like him.
That was a cycle where John Curry wanted to hire the Pirate, went and tried to hire everybody in town, in the country, not named Lane Kiffin. And of course, the word goes that Curry was behind Lane Kiffin way back when Mike Hamilton and all that was going on when they hired him in the first place. But Curry went everywhere, wound up trying to hire Mike Leach. Then, of course, Fatmer pushed him overboard. Fatmer can't stand Kiffin. That's where I'm driving at. It has nothing to do, like, this is all boiling down, like, Heupel and Kiffin, who's the better coach. Fact of the matter is, Kiffin should be coming into year four at Tennessee if it wasn't for Fatmer. That's the thing. That's a dog that's not barking. We wouldn't have had the Jeremy Pruitt era. We wouldn't be sitting here under an NCAA cloud if that fat turkey Fatmer had hired Lane Kiffin 4 years ago. There would have been no Jeremy Pruitt era. McDonald's bags. Sorry offenses. 8 years of Gitmo playing quarterback. None of that would have happened if that fat turkey Fulmer had hired Kiffin 4 years ago. Two things can be true at the same time. Lane Kiffin and Josh Heupel can both be brilliant offensive coaches.
True.
How come nobody ever brings that up, Bill?
Well, I can't tell you.
You got those people that follow you. Pogue's a big butt kisser of Fatmer. Why didn't he bring it up?
I can't control somebody else's show.
Doug Matthews sure as hell ain't going to tell you that, is he?
Well, that's his boy.
The only person that's going to call and tell you the truth on what goes on the pretty side of the plateau is yours truly over here at the Double C Ranch.
All right, we got about a minute. What's the Dickel plan and all that for the weekend?
Well, Lane Train's in town. Got a buddy that has a limo company. I think I got a hookup, maybe jump in the back of the limo. Don't touch that steering wheel. Got some good supervision. Got the Tony Lama's ring. It's going to be cold over here, Bill. It's going to be – got a little rain coming through, but it's going to be a pretty day. But I think they're saying the low over here. And, of course, being a night game, I think low's like mid-40s over here.
So Dickel right down in the boots.
Dolly's pumpkins. The orange is showing up at Dollywood. The pumpkins are, you know, lighting up. It's going to be a big scene, Bill. I'd encourage all. Oh, and by the way, it's a sellout, Bill. Did you hear that?
Are you going?
Tennessee can't fill up a 100,000-seat stadium anymore. Can't get a ticket. 100,000 fans. Corona's over. For all the scum, the Tennessee haters say Tennessee's dead. Can't fill up a stadium. 100,000 fans.
You're going, though.
What are they on? Are they on ESPN or the Deuce? What are they on?
I have no idea. I haven't looked.
What are you doing for the game, Bill? What's your plan? You gonna do some smoked salmon in honor of the Cosby Cattleman?
I'm taking my cat to the vet. I'm not even watching.
Don't be lying, Bill. Hey, have a big weekend. Hang in there. I'll holler at you on Monday.
All right. See you. You know what my plan is? My plan is to get up early on Saturday and watch all the games. That's the only plan I have. My wife doesn't get back till Sunday, so I have to go get her Sunday, but Saturday. Saturday's just a normal. I'm a little down, though, because this is Friday, and there's no high school ball. It's fall break, so there's no high school ball. That's a buzzkill. I'll watch. Isn't the Clemson? Yeah, Clemson-Syracuse game. I'll probably have that on. Is there a national game on? You guys do what national high school game is on? ESPN or the Deuce or something. Somebody tell me what that is. All right, we'll get a break. Brad in about 12 minutes. Just hold off a few more minutes and then load up on your Brad questions. Handicapping Hour 3. Andy, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still heavy traffic out here on I-40 coming in past the airport, but hey, at least it's moving. We got some crazy weather in our area. Give yourself plenty of extra time. Trying to finish up that earlier wreck at OHB at 28th over in Lakewood. Oktoberfest at Obergatlinburg. It's going on now through the end of the month. You still got time? Check out the beautiful Smoky Mountains this weekend at Obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Before you know it, the holiday season will be upon us, so it's time to start planning. If you're having a holiday party or event this year, then you should consider the Omni Nashville Hotel. Have a festive holiday party for your company, family, or friends at the most luxurious location in Music City. All your guests will experience the award-winning service from their well-trained, courteous staff at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Rooms that are second to none, and venues that will be the envy of all your guests. For smaller gatherings, reserve the private dining room inside Kitchen Notes. For a fun party atmosphere, consider Bar Lines. And for high-end corporate entertaining, choose Bob's Steakhouse. You can't go wrong when you book your party at the Omni Nashville Hotel. For more information or inquire about availability, just call 615-782-5333. That's 615-782-5333. The Omni Nashville Hotel, Music City's holiday party destination.
Hello, this is Greg Pogue. The first time I met Tim Leeper, owner of Tim Leeper Roofing, I didn't know I needed a roof on my home, but I recalled meeting Tim as a huge supporter of Hope Hines' annual charity golf tournament, and upon further research at timleeperroofing.com, that his long-based Mid-State company was a former recipient of Roofing Contractor of the Year in Tennessee. Now in these trying times, we all should seek a comfort level personally and professionally. So if you have roofing issues, either residential or commercial, I recommend Tim Leeper Roofing. Please give them a visit at Tim Leeper Roofing.
I'm Bart Durham. I cut my teeth in the legal profession for 3 years as an assistant United States District Attorney. 10 years as a prosecutor changed my view of the law and how it can be used to make people's lives better. I started my own practice, helping injured people fight insurance companies.
I'm Blair Durham. My dad and I want to help. Give us a call at 615-242-9000.
What in the hell's an internet? Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it. The best college football talk on the planet, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, The Bill King Show.
Steven down in Athens, Georgia. Bill, ask Jeff and the Bro why he's so angry. He said the other day he demands respect. That's the only reply I got from him. He's just demanding respect. Brown man in Orlando. Bill, messing with Jeff in the Borough should be its own show. Johnny Vegas on the Emerald Coast. Bill, Jeff in the Borough, third time this week, not a charm. Jim and Jupiter, tell Jeff in the Borough that Tony Barnhart blows and can't hold Bill's jockstrap. Humble seeker. Bill, Friday becomes the new Monday when Jeff and the Burrow calls in. Hoptown boy up in Hopkinsville, KY. Bill, why is Jeff and the Burrow so dang mad? We are 6-0. We have a chance to shock the world, and if we don't, so what? We have a chance to go to the Sugar Bowl for the first time in 157 years, Bill. Just enjoy the ride. Randman in Orlando, thanks for giving me some laughs this morning. John down in Alabama. Bill, I'm with Jeff in the Burrow because Kentucky beats Georgia. Alabama's guaranteed to be in the playoffs because they will beat the hell out of Kentucky. L-Dog down in Georgia. Bill versus Jeff in the Burrow is the best show in the morning. You're going to make Jeff and the Burrow have a heart attack, Bill. I love it. I don't know. 614 Rob up in Ohio. Bill, having fun getting Jeff and the Burrow all stirred up over nothing. Tony checking in this morning in Atlanta. Bill, that dude is begging you to kick him off the show. Way to rise above his immaturity. No, we talked about it. What day was it? Monday after his call, and no, we're not gonna join the cancel culture. We're not doing that. Now he grave danced, and we didn't like that. No. We don't play that here on the show. Yeah, maybe. I'm not saying anything goes. No. Karen brought that up. No, anything doesn't go. You can't have anything goes on your show. But we're allowing him to voice his side of things here. We'll see. I can't tell you what the future holds, but for now he's good. RD, welcome in.
Good morning, Mr. King. Someone needs to send Jeff in the Burrow a case of female hormones, hopefully help him get through menopause, change of life. I don't know what's going on with that guy. But look here, our Spartans are off tonight, high school football. There's a good game on TV, and you want to watch. It's the Battle of the Borough between Riverdale and Murfreesboro Open.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, my gosh. I'll absolutely be watching that.
Yeah, they're saying for the first time in over a decade that this game can have some meaning to it. And not only that, should our Spartans be fortunate enough to make it to the state championship game, the odds are great they'll be playing Murfreesboro Open. So we do a little scouting at the same time while you're enjoying a good game, everybody.
I'm glad you told me that. I'm sure I would have spotted it on the TV later today. But, no, I did not. That just added excitement to my Friday afternoon. I love that matchup. But for everybody, Oakland is probably – currently the best program in the state of Tennessee, and Riverdale is a long-time power, and actually originally was the power in Murfreesboro, but now it's Oakland. But Riverdale's got a very good team this year, too, so it should be fun.
Bill, you are aware that our Spartans, who will, concerning the playoffs, they go to the West bracket this year, which means – the only way they would face Oakland or Maryville would be in the state championship game. So we got that going for us.
I knew that. I did not know that when the season started, but I checked up on it, and that's comforting because you don't want to meet them before then.
All right. Enjoy your show as always. You have a great weekend, and hope the missus has a safe flight home.
Thank you.
See you
very much. No, Kev. Checking in. Jeff and the Burrow didn't like the locker decorating that Michelle did because when he was in high school, he was locked in the locker. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I like that. Coach C over in South Carolina. Bill, doesn't Jeff and the Burrow talk about his kids playing sports and him going watching, or is that some other creepy guy? No, I don't think Jeff. No, Jeff and the Burrow doesn't have any kids, as far as I know. I mean, you think there's a woman out there that would marry him? There is not a female on this planet that he could marry. No, I don't. I've never heard Jeff and the Burrow talk about his kids. You imagine a bunch of little kids angry Jeff and the Burrows? That would be like terror. That would not be right. So I don't know anything about Jeff and the Burrow and kids. Rod of Buckeye in Texas, Bill. Every successful show has a villain, and Jeff and the Burrow plays the part to perfection. All right, I got a lot of comments here that I won't be able to get to. Post your Brad questions beginning now. Brad Powers coming up, handicap. Hour number 3, Friday, Omni, Nashville Hotel.